Rashi's. Let's talk about Rashi. Let's talk about some of the events that took place as the Yitziat Mitzrayim begins. Okay, so here's an interesting Rashi. In the end of, or the beginning of Parag Yud Aleph, Paro gets angry. Actually, the end of Parag Yud. And the Yomer lo Paro leich me alai, he shamer lecha al tosef ra'os panai. You will die the next time you see me. And Moshe leaves in a huff, in a tiffy. And Moshe leaves. Okay? So then Hashem, the next section, says, by the way, he counsels Moshe, by the way, this isn't over. I will one day bring another nega on Paro, and he will force you out. Okay, so after Moshe is thrown out of the palace, Hashem has a little private conversation with him. We're going to get Paro, don't worry. I'm on your side, I got your back. And then, the Parsha ends, not the Parsha, but the Parsha, in terms of the Parsha Stuma, Parsha Bechusa. Vayomer Moshe, now Moshe has a big announcement. Ko amar Hashem, kechatosa laila, niyotse bitoch Mitzrayim, makas bechoros, and there's a big tzaka, and the dogs aren't going to bark. So who's he talking to? Presumably the Jewish people alone, because he can't see Paro anymore. He would have been kicked out of the palace. All your avadim are going to come to me. He's talking to Paro. How can he be talking to Paro if he's kicked out of the palace? How do you solve that problem? He's kicked out of the palace. Hashem spoke to him, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And then, by the way, he starts talking to Paro about what's going to happen the night of Makas Bacharos, what the dogs are going to do, where you're going to be. You're going to come and panic and ask me to please leave. So Rashi, in the beginning of that section, Moshe, Hashem, Rashi says, oh, Moshe already said this to Paro earlier in this section. This is before he left Paro's palace. Hashem had already told him, while he's in the palace, relay the following information to Paro about Makas Bechoros, and about the night of Mitzrayim, and about the dogs, and about how panicked you'll be. This was already much earlier, even though it's reported later in the Parsha. It already happened hours earlier when Moshe was still in Paro's palace, even though the text presents it as if Hashem gave this information to Moshe later and Moshe said it later. That's what Rashi says. Lashon Rashi is, Be'amdo lefnei Paro nemru lo nevuazu. Sharei mishiyatza milafana, once he left already, lo hosif ros panav. He couldn't have been relaying this message to Paro. So really, chronologically, this information was given to Moshe and relayed to Paro well earlier, but it's only delayed later in the Parsha. The question is why? Why is there a tear in the text? Why does the text take something that was conveyed to Moshe and relayed to Paro much earlier and put it later in the Parsha? The answer is it's a great satire. Because Paro's goal is to try to mute Moshe Rabbeinu and try to prevent him from conveying any messages. So you know what the text says? Moshe, you will never see me again. You'll never see my face. And stop talking to me. And then a few minutes later, Moshe's still talking to Paro. Now, obviously, chronologically, it's not what happened. Chronologically, what happens is Moshe talked to Paro before he was kicked out. But textually, you're reading the Parsha, I don't want you to ever see me again. You're not going to have any way to talk to me again. Communication, I'm not going to let... Moshe keeps talking to Paro because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choreographing this whole process. And you can't, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a message he wants to convey, that message will be heard. So the text provides a fascinating satire. The chronology is, as it was all said before, Paro kicked Moshe out of the palace and Moshe never saw Paro again till the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where ironically he didn't see him in the palace. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Right? Paro's words came true. You'll never see me in the palace again. Right. You'll see me as I'm banging down your doors, begging you to please leave Mitzrayim. But the text presents a message as if, don't ever talk to me again. Moshe keeps talking, despite Paro's great efforts to prevent Moshe from speaking with him. Okay, so, Vayomer Moshe, so what does Moshe say in that section? Kachatzos halayla, let me find the exact parsha. It's good base. Kachatzos halayla. Ani arayed b'soch Mitzrayim. Kama Hashem, kachatzos halayla, ani arayed b'toch Mitzrayim. So why does Moshe use the word kachatzos halayla, ani arayed b'toch Mitzrayim? What is a kachatzos? So Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be very precise and can time Makas Bucharos based on Greenwich time, and he can set his atomic watch for the exact moment that it's 12 at night, midnight. But Paro is court advisors and his prognosticators and his astronomers, they don't really have watches. So if Moshe says kechatzos halayla, then in their minds it's not really going to be midnight, which is fascinating that they would even presume to know what midnight is, because they didn't have any watches. They're all working with sundials or other ways to tell the times. But somehow they would look at their own time measuring devices, and it's not really kechatzos halayla. And Moshe lied because he said chatzos, and it's 2 minutes off. They're going to get Moshe. So therefore, Hashem tells Moshe, say kechatzos. So no matter what they think. That's what Rashi says. Who cares? Why do you care about what they're saying in Baro's backroom palaces? Just, this is Parshas Bo. We're going to say this at the Haggadah. Kodesh Baruch Hu has the ability to time it exactly on the nanosecond, or obviously far more precise. Just, the answer is, and I've said this a lot this year, is that this is not just a project to release the Jewish people. This is an attempt to display basic ideas of monotheism, prophecy, providence to Am Yisrael, to the Egyptians, to the rest of the world. This is a long process. It's going to take thousands of years of monotheism to seep into the international consciousness. And Moshe is the conveyor of this process. So Moshe's integrity has to be protected. So if the bottom line of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Jews are out and they're fleeing from Mitzrayim and they're heading the way to Eretz Yisrael, but Moshe is being scorned and ridiculed in the local tabloids. Oh, he's a liar. He said 12 o'clock, and it really, and according to our counting, it was 12:03. And so that's going to pull the rug and torpedo all of Moshe's authority, integrity. And Moshe's integrity has to be maintained, not just in the eyes of the Jewish people, in the eyes of the astronomers of Pharaoh. So you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu worrying about the Fashtunken astronomers, because they're the correspondents that are going to write articles the next day in the Egyptian Gazette. And the articles in the Egyptian Gazette have to be everything that Moshe said came true, and therefore all of his ideas carry authority. Okay. So, what else does Moshe say? Be'amartem zevach pesachu l'Hashem asher pasach abate b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. So Moshe tells the Jewish people now, in the middle of Perek Yud Beis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smite the Egyptians, and all the Bechoros will die, and you should put blood on your doorposts. And you'll get to the land, and you'll tell your children, and they'll ask you what the story is, Ramatim Zevach Pesach, all these well-known psukim from the Haggadah. So how does that section end? Vayikot ha'am vayishtachavu. So they bow down, those who are learning Daf Yomi, just came up a few days ago, what's Kida, what's Ishtachavaya? Rashi is a very interesting qualifier. Vayikot ha'am vayishtachavu. He's probably focusing on the three words, vayikot ha'am vayishtachavu, only two words, but two verbs, but three words in this phrase. Vayikod ha'am vayishtachavu. Why does the Torah have to stress vayikod vayishtachavu? So vayishtachavu, vayikod ha'am vayishtachavu. There are three parts that they express their gratitude for. Al besiras ha'geula, that they're being redeemed. Bias haaretz, v'hayki sevo, they can enter the land of Israel. Ubesiras habanim, they're going to have children, they're going to ask them questions. Those are the three parts they were thankful about. Sheyihyu lahem. What is this Rashi saying to you? What's he not saying? What were they not expressing gratitude for? What were they not bowing down for? What's also part of the parasha? I didn't read it for you. The death of the Egyptians, the death of the Bechor, the carnage, the blood, the murder. Obviously, they were very happy to leave Mitzrayim. But public displays of gratitude and joy when human beings suffer, even if they are terrible people, we mute it. Okay, every once in a while we have this question. We had this question last week. Obviously not comparing in any way, shape, or form, but when really, 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 really terrible and nefarious people die, so obviously there's Simchan Shemayim and Bavod Risham Rina, when evil has been removed from this world, but we are human beings and we celebrate Selam Elokim in every human being, and even when that Selam Elokim has been disgraced and has been deformed, we don't celebrate death, we don't celebrate murder. So there's this long parsha, the Egyptians are going to die, and rivers of blood will flow through Mitzrayim, and everybody will have a maze. And by the way, also, there's going to be geula, and they're going to be taken out, and enter Eretz Yisrael and have children. Am Yisrael says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for that message. We're celebrating now, Sudas Mitzvah, we're bowing down for the children of Eretz Yisrael. We do not celebrate death in any way, shape, or form. Whenever blood is lost, whenever life is lost, we don't express it. Okay, there are many, many, many ways to solve that riddle of Binfale Vecha Altismach versus Bavod Rishar Marina, that's Stira. But the basic solution is public displays, not internally, when you have how you view certain things. Obviously, we're thrilled when Hitler dies. We're thrilled when Saddam Hussein dies. We're thrilled when people that are evil, that are controlling the world and creating murder and creating horror in the world, when they're no longer able to sow the seeds of evil and murder, but we don't celebrate in public fashion. Okay? So, what happens in the end of the parsha with this Rashi will end? Vayelchu, very, very long-winded pasuk. Am Yisrael listens to Moshe, all these instructions about the Korban Pesach. Vayelchu, vayasu, b'nei Yisrael, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, v'aron kein asu. A very, very long-winded pasuk to describe Am Yisrael accepting the commandment of Korban Pesach, which didn't even happen yet. This was on Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh Zelach and Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh is informing them. But Yom Chovayasu, it should be. Moshe gives the instructions, they listen, and then when the night comes, the Torah is going to describe the execution. Why is this long-winded pasuk about the execution 2 weeks before it actually occurs? So Rashi has three fascinating inferences. And the reason that these inferences are so important is because this is the first mitzvah. This is the first mitzvah of Yisrael. So the first mitzvah, as I said last night during the Chug, is going to set certain patterns for how Masara is transmitted. This is the first part of the Masara. But it's also going to set patterns for Kiyama Mitzvahs. How are people Makaya Mitzvahs? This is the first Kiyama Mitzvah. So there are three parts of this description that Rashi highlights. Number one, Vayelchu Vayasu. The Torah is describing an event that hasn't happened yet. This is 14 days before. Vayel, what didn't have this? Vayelchu Vayasu. So what does Rashi say? Bichli kfar asu? V'alom erosh chodesh nemar. Ela mikivon shekibu aleyem ma'ale alev akasav kilo asu. They accepted, they wanted, they planned, and it is considered by the Torah as if they had already fulfilled and executed that. Now, this is a double-edged message. Not a double-edged, but a dual message. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Misarev Machshava Tova in the world of Hasidus, as long as you wanted it, even if you were withheld from performing it. But more importantly, as I've said so many times, that's what orthodoxy is. The meter of orthodox behavior is not whether you succeed at every mitzvah. It's whether you accept every mitzvah and try your hardest. A lot of people get that wrong. When they fail at certain mitzvahs, they write, in this corner, if someone accepts all 612, it does them all perfectly, but you know, that mitzvah is not for me. He's not orthodox. In this corner, if someone tries all 613, but he can't shoot straight, he gets them all wrong. He's orthodox because he accepts all the mitzvahs. So it's the acceptance, it's the nasev and nishma, as it were, of Mitzrayim, that the Torah is highlighting. But Yehoshua v'Yasu, 2 weeks later. But the fact that they accepted mitzvahs put them in. They bought into the process. But Yehoshua v'Yasu, and they actually worked and exerted. Mitzvahs are not always going to be easy. Part of the problem in today's world is that so many of the mitzvahs we have are easy. Kashrus is easy. Dalet Minim is easy. Pesach is easy. There are very few mitzvahs that you have to struggle for. Pretty much the only mitzvah you have to struggle for is Talmud Torah. Mitzvah Asay. What are the mitzvahs? Maybe Tzvila, but see, what are the mitzvahs that are hard? But they have to be matriarch. This is hard to find animals, to buy animals. So Rashi says, Vayelchu vayasu, af halicha mana akasa, litin schar lalicha v'schar lasiya. Vayelchu vayasu, not just vayasu, but vayelchu, of course, Rashi doesn't just mean schar halicha. Rashi means whatever energy and effort and investment it takes to perform a mitzvah. This is the first mitzvah the Torah wants to stress. It's not as if the animals were lining up outside their door and offering themselves as a carbon pesach. There was courageous defiance of the Egyptians, they defied money, they defied animals, it wasn't easy, and it's just demand investment. The third inference of Rashi says is the end of the pasuk, Vayelchu vayasu b'nei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe v'Aharon, kein asu, that's repetitious, Vayelchu vayasu kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe v'Aharon, kein asu, what does kein asu teach us? So Rashi says, kein asu, we'll find the Rashi, Kain Asu, where are we here? Kain Asu. Oh, I have a different Rashi. Right, here's Rashi. Mao Kain Asu, Af Moshe V'Aaron Kain Asu. So this is establishing an important pattern. There's no difference between leadership and laymen. It's not as if, oh, they're barking orders. Everyone has to perform the ceremonies. We're the leaders. We have a different set of standards. We have different rules. Moshe and Aaron, they're too busy for mitzvahs. No, Moshe and Aaron also are running around chasing down little sheep, chasing down goats, trying to find keves, trying to tie them to the doorposts. But just because you're a leader in Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't mean you're excused from any of the day-to-day details of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are not just for the common folk. Mitzvahs and the same rules apply to everyone. These are three fascinating snapshots of Kiyama Mitzvahs. Number one, acceptance. Number two, investment. Number three, everyone's chayav. So fascinating. Rashi's Moshe keeps talking, even though Paro throws him out of the house, throws him out of the palace. I didn't get a chance to talk about that night when Paro's running around through the streets. Maybe we'll talk about it some other time. What else did we talk about? That it's important that Moshe's integrity be preserved in the eyes of the Egyptian astronomers. The Jewish people aren't celebrating death and bloodshed. They're bowing for the children of Eretz Yisrael, for all the glowing prophecies. And this first Kiyama Mitzvah, there are three slants of the Harry performances. Okay, have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Yes.
אמרת שבני ישראל לא חוזרים את המוות של מצרים.
כן.